You may be seated. Well, amen. Let me get switched here. We're maybe just a little bit better prepared than what we were last week. I had a short notice that I was going to be filling in for my son, the pastor. It's hard when y'all, he's pastor, but he's my son, amen? So I like to refer to him as Pastor Son. Amen. For years we called each other pastor, brother dad and brother son. Amen. But we had a little more warning. We were able to get some things ready for today. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. And for our message this morning, we're going to be preaching on the thought of pressing on. Pressing on. So let me just read a couple of verses here. Verses 13 and 14 of Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize call, high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you that you loved us before we ever loved you. Lord, I ask that our love for you would grow as we get to know you better, even as we get into relationships and we grow to love each other in a special way. I ask, Father, that our love for you would continue to abound and to grow. Father, I pray this morning that as we look at these few verses here in your word, that you would open them to our understanding, that you would speak to our hearts. I ask, God, that you would hide this preacher behind the cross. May the Lord Jesus Christ be high and lifted up. May these folks not hear me, but might they hear your word. And then take your word and allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to our hearts and our lives, that it might mold us and make us into that which you desire us to be. So, Father, as best we know how, we give ourselves to you. We ask that your will would be fully and richly accomplished. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul has come to the realization at this point in his ministry that he had not obtained all that for which he had been called into the service of the Lord for. What he was actually saying here in verses 13 and 14 is, "There is something for which yet I strive and to which I look forward, but which I have not yet gained." As he said here in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but I follow after that I might apprehend that for which I've been apprehended of Christ Jesus." He goes on and says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." And so here Paul is coming, really, here in Philippians, we find Paul is in prison and he's writing this epistle to be an encouragement to the church of Philippi. But even though he has served the Lord for many, many years, he realizes that he has not completely accomplished that for which the Lord saved him. Well, Dr. B.M. Page has been home with the Lord for many years. I remember hearing Brother Page, who was 98, I think, when he went to be with the Lord and preached for 60-some-odd years, preached around the world many times, started many churches here in the state of Indiana. And he'd say, "The Lord's not done with me yet, or I wouldn't be here." And if you ever knew Dr. Page, he was a special man. I remember the first time I ever heard him, he got up in the pulpit and he reached in his pocket and took out a harmonica and started praying. And he says, "Welcome to What the Bible Says." And I thought, who is this old man? And then I got to know him. I found out he was a man of God. And so he would say, "If you're still here, God's still got something for you to do." Amen. And so I want to look at these verses and some other verses of Scripture in our text this morning and see what the Lord has for us here as we press on for the Lord. Notice what they, first of all, in verse 13, and we're going to kind of take this verse by a section of the verse by verse and break it down and preach just each phrase as we see as the Lord led us to formulate this message. But notice what he says again in verse 13, the first part, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." He was still striving to apprehend. back in verse 12, and we don't probably don't have it on the slide, but let me just read it. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That word apprehend has the idea of seizing suddenly with eagerness. And he's saying, remember the account of the Apostle Paul being saved on the Damascus Road as he was going to Damascus with letters of authority to arrest Christians and bring them back and put them in prison or put them to death. And he was saved there on the Damascus Road. And the Bible, he was, as he says here, he was apprehended for the Lord Jesus Christ to seize suddenly with eagerness. But Paul says, I have not yet apprehended that for which I have been apprehended. In other words, he says, I have not yet arrived. I have not accomplished everything that the Lord wants me to do. And you and I, listen, we're still here this morning. We're still breathing. If you've been saved by the grace of God, then my friend, the Lord has apprehended you for a specific purpose. And God has a will for your life. The first will He has for your life is that you be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's the first will for His life. But then He, after you are saved, He wants you to serve Him. That's the will of God. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God has apprehended us for a purpose, but yet we have not fully apprehended that for which we have been apprehended. In other words, we have not fulfilled or accomplished everything that God has for us to do. Paul said he had not yet seized that for which he had been seized. So Paul, here in verse 13, the first part, Paul had the right focus. He had the right focus that he was looking forward to apprehend that for which he had been apprehended. The second part of that verse, verse 13, says, brother, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. But this one thing I do. Paul not only had the right focus, but he also had the right purpose. Paul had one paramount aim and purpose in life, and that aim was to love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely and give his utmost in all things. He had no desire for earthly riches. He had the unsearchable riches of Christ. Back in our text, verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I count but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Listen, he had the unsearchable riches of Christ. He said, everything that I've had in life, according to verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3 of Philippians, he says, the things that were gained to me, I count those but lost. And even in the last part of verse 8, he says, I count them as dung. Something that would be thrown out on the trash heap. He had no desire for earthly riches. His desire was to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind. That was his desire. He had the right purpose. He had no desire to wear a crown of fame and honor here. He wasn't looking for a temporal crown to place upon his head. He wasn't looking for temporal awards for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no desire to wear a crown of fame and honor. He had a crown of glory awaiting for him in the world to come. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, the Word of God says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He wanted that incorruptible crown. He had the right purpose in mind. My friend, he wanted to receive that crown of glory from the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as we read and study the Word of God, we find that all the rewards that we will receive as a child of God, if we receive rewards, will cast back at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ because they rightfully belong to Him. His one great aim and purpose of soul was to love Christ above all else and give his best in stewardship to the Lord who saved him. From the time that we see Paul saved there on the Damascus Road, and my friend, as he went out into the desert and he was taught of the Lord, and he come back and started his earthly ministry, his whole heart's desire was to love the Lord supremely and serve him with the rest of his life. We have to ask ourselves the question, what's our purpose? What's our focus? Do we have the right focus? Do we have the right purpose? What are we living for? What is our heart's desire? Do we really want to love the Lord more than anything? Or are we striving for earthly possessions? It's not wrong to have earthly possessions. That's not wrong at all. But don't let them have you. It's all right to have things, but don't let those things have you. We are to love the Lord supremely. That was his desire here in verse 13 of our text. He says, not as though I'd already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after that I might apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. See, Paul had the right focus and he had the right purpose, but Paul also had the right thinking. He had the right thinking. There in verse 13, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. See, he said, I want to forget those things behind. He did not spend his time pointing out to the tremendous sacrifices he had made when he became a Christian. You didn't hear Paul sit around and talk about how, you know, he was how he gave up a life of luxury and a good salary, and you didn't hear Paul saying that. Did not waste time remembering what he lost when he gained Christ. Listen, I've heard Christians, I've sat around and talked to different people, and they you know, talk about when they got saved and how they gave up this, they gave up that, and they gave up this, they gave this thing up, and they quit, you know, and they talk about all the sacrifices they made in order to follow Christ. Jesus gave it all. He gave it all on the cross at Calvary. He held back nothing. When he hung there on that cross between heaven and hell, between heaven and earth, and he was nailed to that old rugged cross, he said, "It is finished." He said, I've done everything the Father has asked me to do. Even his word, in his word, he said, I do always those things that please the Father. There was absolutely nothing in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that anybody could point out and say that he was wrong. I've had people try. Well, what about when he got mad in the temple and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and made a scourge and drove them out? That was righteous indignation because they were defiling the temple of God. But Paul had the right thinking. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind. Listen, we need to forget those things behind and move forward. Forget about the hard times, the bad times. Now listen, it's not wrong to look back and learn from those things if they strengthen us and help us, or if they can be an encouragement, but we do not need to dwell in the past. You ever heard the phrase, we used to? We used to do that, and we used to do this, and we used to go there. Can't live in the past. Let me say this. Eternal Life Baptist Church cannot live in the past. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind. Listen, we have to have the right thinking. Paul did have something he could boast about. In our text here in chapter 3, verses 4 down through verse 8, Paul, because of the people, gives this testimony. He says, though I might have also have confidence in flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. And he goes on, but what things were gained to me, those I count but lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What was Paul saying here? Paul says, if anybody's got anything to boast about, it would be me. As he says here in these verses, he was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He had great credentials, but he says, I count them all but dung that I might win Christ. He wasn't looking back. He was looking forward. Paul had the right thinking. We need to have the right thinking, and we need to be looking forward. We need to move forward for the cause of Christ. Not only did he have the right thinking, Paul looked at the future. In Philippians 3, verse 13, the next phrase that we have there, he says, he's forgetting those things which are behind, he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You think about a runner in the race. Remember when I was in junior high and high school, I played some sports. And I remember I ran our regular 440 runner, and I don't know what they call it now, it's all in meters now, but our regular 440 runner wasn't able to be at a meet. And so my coach said, Gary, you are going to run the 440. I said, do what? I ran the high hurdles, or ran the hurdles, the high jumps, and things like that. And I said, he says, you're going to run the 440. I said, okay. And so I got down there in the starting blocks, and the gun fired, and I took off, and I just kept looking forward. And I had some guys pass me because they were regular 440 runners, but I was looking for the finish line. I was looking forward. I knew if I looked back, I would lose my stride. I may stumble and fall and not even finish the race. A runner in the race keeps focused on the prize before him, the finish line. But I was saying, I like NASCAR. Last week, they raced in Dover, Delaware. They raced on Saturday night, so I recorded it, watched it last Sunday afternoon. One of my drivers that I like is Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott's only been in the upper levels of NASCAR racing for about 3-4 years. His dad was a great stock car driver. But about a third of the way into the race, his car began to slow down and he went into the pits. And they raised the hood on it and they did some work on it. And they got him back out on the track, but his car would only, he ended up finishing, I don't know, 30 laps behind. But he kept going. He kept going. He was looking. He wanted to finish the race no matter what. So my friend, listen. We have to look to the future. Paul was always reaching for things before him. The runner in the race does not look back. He is always looking forward to the finish line to receive the prize for the race. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 down through verse 62. I believe we have those verses here this morning. If not, I'll read it. And it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my house. And Jesus said, and no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We have to look forward. We can't look back and say, well, we used to do this, we used to do that, we used to run a bus ministry, we used to have a great outreach ministry. No, we need to look forward, we need to move forward and not look back. Thank God for those days. Thank God that He led Pastor Inslee to establish, to start Eternal Life Baptist Church. Thank God for all the souls that have been saved through this ministry, that it's time to move forward, to move on, to look ahead, look to the future. So Paul had the right thinking. As we come down through our text here in verses 13 and 14, we come to verse 14, notice what Paul says. This is one of my life verses. I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm pressing forward. See, Paul had the right goal in mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 7, he says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. When Paul was coming to the end of his life there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. It's like a determined fighter, wrestler, or boxer. I have fought a good fight. Listen, I know some of you probably have coached or are coaches, and you tell your players, don't leave anything on the field. Give it your all. Give it everything that you've got. Just like what I was talking about Chase Elliott running that race last week, even though his car, he knew he couldn't win the race. My friend, he kept fighting on. A good fighter is determined to finish. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Folks, we are in a battle. We're in a battle for souls. We're in the battle for Christianity. We're in a battle for our faith. And we need to fight on. I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. Like a victorious runner, he had finished his lifelong race and desired the prize. He said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Remember, Paul is coming to the end of his life at this time as he's penning 1 and 2 Timothy and writing to young Pastor Timothy to be encouragement to him. And he said, I have finished my course. I have done what the Lord wants me to do. Well, I think back my college days. And I was glad when some of those courses were over. I was looking for the finish line. I was pressing on. I was fighting a good fight. I was glad when Hebrew history was over. I was glad when my doctor's class was over. Listen, we have to finish the course. God's not done with you. If you're sitting here today still breathing, and I assume that you are, God's not done with you. You've not finished your course. You have not yet apprehended that for which you've been apprehended of Christ Jesus. And as like Paul says here in verse 14, I press toward the mark. You ever watch a runner in a race, and when they get close to the finish line, they stick that chest out there, they want to be the first one across the finish line. Pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I've fought a good fight. I finished the course. He said, I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 11. We could go there, Brother Jim. You got to remember, Brother Jim and I are both rookies at this. Brother Ethan usually takes care of that, and he's on vacation, amen. Brother Jim's doing a great job. Notice what it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. What's Paul talking about there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11? He's talking about the Word of God. Go ahead and go verse 20, chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Notice what he goes on to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So we continue to go on, chapter 2 and verse 2. That thing and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 of 2 Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in which is in Christ Jesus. What was Paul saying to young Pastor Timothy? Keep the faith. Hold true to the Word of God. He said he was a good steward of that which his boss had deposited to his care. So I've kept the faith. Kept the faith. So I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Can you and I say that? I'm fighting a good fight. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to hold to that which I know is true. I said it in the Sunday school hour. I've said it many times in different times that I've preached from here. This book does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Every jot and every tittle is the Word of God. As I said in the Sunday school hour, if we say it only contains the Word of God, then we can say parts of it are not the Word of God. It is God's Word. We need to keep the faith. Back years ago, Reader's Digest put out what they called the Reader's Digest Bible. And how Reader's Digest, they would take long, extensive stories and they would condense them. And that's what they did to the Bible. But John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under the book of Revelation, says that anyone who takes from or adds to the Word of God will be cursed. You need to keep the faith. Paul was looking for the prize. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, once again, notice what the Word of God is. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul was looking for the crown. He was looking for the prize. He realized that from the Lord he had received the call of salvation. Listen, no one can get saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God calling them to the place where they realize that they're lost and on their way to hell. The Holy Spirit has to bring conviction and cause that person to realize they're lost and condemned without Christ. John talked about that in his gospel in chapter 3. Well, we all know verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it goes on and says that He came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I was born condemned. But I trusted Christ as my Savior, my friend. Listen, as the Apostle Paul did I, and so did you. You received the call of salvation from the Lord. Paul realized that he received the call of stewardship from the Lord. We saw that in 1 and 2 Timothy, where he was encouraging Timothy to hold true to the truths of God's Word and pass it on to others. My friend, he wanted to be a good steward of that which God had given him. Time, talents, treasures, testimony. Listen, you could go on and on and on. Listen, we own absolutely nothing. The Word of God says, "Naked came I into this world, and naked will I leave." This suit belongs to God. It's all His. And we are to be good stewards of what He has given us. So he received the call of salvation from the Lord. He received the call of stewardship from the Lord. And he received the call to secure the incorruptible crown from the Lord. He was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wanted to receive that crown. The question is, do we have the right focus? Are we striving to apprehend that for which we have been apprehended? Do we have the right purpose? To love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely. Do we have the right thinking? Forgetting the past failures, the past problems, even the past successes, and move on. Do we have the right goal? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on. Folks, we got to press on. We got to move forward. You find a body of water and there's no inlet and no outlet, that body of water will become stagnant. But as long as there's fresh water coming in and water going out, that water continually moving, it won't become stagnant. And if we don't move on, we become stagnant. Oh, we may not be moving back, but we're not really moving ahead. So we become stagnant. We are satisfied with the status quo. God just blessed me and my three and none of us. I'm happy. I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. What about the multitudes around us that are traveling a wide road of destruction? They're headed down a path to everlasting torment. And we have the words of life. Do we have the right goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Folks, we have to press on. We have to move forward. We cannot be stagnant. We cannot be happy with the status quo. We need to apprehend that for which we have been apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Lord has a will for every one of our lives. And it's up to us. It's up to me individually to fulfill His will for my life. It's up to you individually to fulfill His will for your life. Are you willing to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Let's stand together. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around. It may be that the Spirit of God has spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe you need to come and get on an old-fashioned altar. Joe Kaplinger, a preacher of days gone by, would say that the altar is a place where the Lord can hug you. Maybe you have not been pressing towards that mark. Maybe you've become satisfied where you're at. We should never be satisfied. We should always be endeavoring to do more for the Lord. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just between me and you and the Lord, listen, I won't come to you. I never come and say anything to you. I just want to pray for you.